This is Gross Anatomy, where pop culture meets health culture. Let's get to it. Hey, welcome to Gross Anatomy, everyone.
Hey, welcome, everybody. We are actually, well, we're not live, but we're face-to-face today.
We're IRL.
What does that mean?
In real life.
Ooh.
We're together IRL.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
So Gross Anatomy is IRL
Gross
today?
Gross Anatomy is IRL today.
Wow. We're face-to-face. You know what? This is actually old school. When we first started Gross Anatomy, it was in this room.
Oh.
IRL.
Wow.
Lauren Taylor and I.
I didn't know.
Yeah. But I don't remember how we had it set in terms of mics and things, but it was in this room live.
I love that.
And then she moved away.
Okay.
And that was it.
But thank God for modern technology, because you got to carry on the pod.
And there you go. Thank God for COVID.
Well, no.
Because we started pre-COVID and we learned from COVID that we could do it via Zoom.
But I bet you would have figured that out without COVID.
Maybe.
Zoom. I mean, Zoom definitely got pushed way faster than
way
it would have.
Faster.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I'm not going to throw out a thank God for COVID, probably.
Right. No, thank God for COVID. Yeah. But one thing I love to do with my pre-med students, actually, mm-hmm. is I like to ask them if any good stuff for them came from COVID.
Oh.
You know, whether it was a COVID project or something like that. So the whole Zoom and remote thing was definitely a positive of COVID, that people learned that they could not necessarily be IRL.
Was that your positive?
No, but it's Gross Anatomy's positive for sure.
Okay. Yeah. What about your personal positive?
We wound up instituting that we're always every night going to have dinner together as much as possible.
I love
as
that.
As a family.
And what was the case before? You guys were all just too busy.
Yeah. You know, we would kind of see each other. Maybe we would eat. But that's what got us really all cooking together and making dinners together and having dinner together every night. Not
and
just
you
Friday
love
nights.
Cooking.
Yeah. And love cooking with the fam.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. Mm-hmm. What about you? Do you have a positive from COVID?
I'm sure we all do. Yeah. COVID definitely sped along. It was mid-20s for me. Like, I turned 24 March 6th of 2020.
Happy birthday.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Recently, I'm 28. So there we go. 4 years now. I think it was kind of good for really wrapping up that party phase that was early 20s, you know?
Oh, wow.
Like, I was already kind of getting there on my own. I was like, I don't really feel good when I do that. But it was like a really quick way to be like, you can't now.
That's interesting. You had to wrap it up.
I had to wrap it up pretty
That's
early.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Which is good for someone at your age, but bad for someone who was just getting into that
right.
phase.
Right. Like poor college grads who were. Yeah.
Exactly. I know. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, guys, if you're listening. I don't know if that's our demo, but.
Yeah. But I have did you have a, you know, a lot of people had COVID projects.
Oh,
yeah. People were making, breads and things. Did you have a specific COVID project?
Yeah. I actually was really into sourdough right before COVID. I was working at a sourdough bakery.
Oh.
And then when COVID hit, I was kind of over it. So everyone was like starting sourdough and I was like, I'm wrapping this up.
Ah.
Which was fun. But then I had to find a new hobby. So I did this anonymous poetry website, and I sent out a Google form to around like 50 some people, just like friends and family. I linked it on my Instagram, and then people would submit poetry, and I was actually surprised by how many people submitted. Like
wow.
I thought like, this is kind of embarrassing. No one's going to do it,
yeah.
you know, or just like, I want to submit my own, you know, but people actually really did. And I shared them and I emailed them out each week. Which was really
fun. It was anonymous, though.
It was anonymous.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So I didn't even know who wrote any of them. I did rack my brain on some of them because they were like a little revealing, like who wrote this.
Wow.
I still don't know.
No one came forward and said that was my poem?
No, someone did sign. A few people signed their names. Like one of my friend's mom did one that was amazing. And she signed her name at the bottom. And she's a writer. So I think she's just like, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, she's like bold with it. But I think most of the people like my age, they were not signing their names. It was just like a nice little outlet. So that was fun. I mean, I liked that.
Yeah.
I would do something like that again. It kind of just naturally wrapped itself up when COVID started to chill.
Yeah.
People were busier. They weren't as emotional.
Right.
But it was a good COVID project.
That's a good one. Yeah.
How about you?
We decided we had a decent amount of furniture that wooden furniture that needed like refinishing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And my plan was to fix all of our furniture. Like I had this coffee table that I loved that Bernice hated.
Oh.
But it just needed to be refinished and everything. But first we had this really nice dining table that needed that to be like sanded and da-da-da. Well, unfortunately, or fortunately for me, COVID didn't really shut down what I do. So I was only shut down for a few days. So we did the table, but I never got to the coffee table.
You did? She got rid of the coffee table. So Bernice won in the end.
She loved that.
The master
injector. I love that coffee table. I love that. I found that coffee table at like a flea market downtown in New York City. I was driving by. Yeah, I love that coffee table.
But you had a nice little DIY moment.
Yeah. So we have one table. It's a table outside in the back, in the back, you know, overlooking the pool area. That's a table. That was our project, our family.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah,
it was
kind of fun. Love a family project.
Yeah.
Okay, but we're not here not here to talk about that today.
Yeah.
We got really sidetracked.
Yeah, IRL.
Well, it's a big week for you.
It is.
Yeah.
I had some skin thing done.
Oh, I figured. Yeah. I wasn't going to.
Oh, I thought that's why.
No, I don't. I mean,
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a
But I'm so self-conscious about it.
Really? I understand.
What, right? When you walk around with like a Band-Aid on your face. I have a Band-Aid on my face.
And you think everyone's looking at it, so you can't even make eye contact.
And what's weird is no one's asking me about it.
No one cares.
Although Mariano, thank you for asking about it. Mariano actually asked me about it. And I appreciate that because it's an elephant in the room a little bit.
Well, I mean, I've struggled with like skin issues, acne and whatever. And I would never bring up someone else's skin.
You want to bring up, hey, what's up with the Band-Aid on your cheek?
I didn't know if you just popped a pimple and you didn't want anyone to see it.
Okay.
So yeah. I thought, I'm not bringing that up unless he brings it up.
Okay, I brought it up. I had a biopsy of something today.
That's good to do, though. Yeah, you're on top of it.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Well, it's been there for a long time. Oh. But Bernice, the master injector, is like, all right, you're going to get that thing biopsied.
And we do what she says.
Oh, we always do.
Remember, she sent me to you for a biopsy.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I listened.
We do whatever she says.
We do whatever she says.
And there you go.
The master injector, truly. The reason you're having a big week is because, what day is it? 2 days ago, April 3rd, your show aired.
Right.
We haven't really talked about your show much on the pod because we've been waiting for this moment. So can we talk about it?
What show?
Your TLC show.
Oh, yeah. The name of the show is Take My Tumor, first of all.
Take My Tumor.
Take My Tumor.
Okay. We love the alliteration.
Yeah. I actually was voting for it to be called Gross Anatomy.
Oh.
I pitched that to them.
You did?
Yeah. I don't think they wanted, because then it would have been mine, you know, and I don't think they want. And reading the synopses of the show, it sounds like I've become like a minor player a little bit. But I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely in it. But
we need to watch it to find out.
I can't watch it. I'm afraid to watch it.
Okay, so we'll watch it and let you know.
Yeah, I don't want to watch myself, right? What do you think about that?
I mean, I think it's normal to get a little self-conscious about watching yourself, but wouldn't you want to know if you could improve anything or change anything?
Maybe, but maybe you guys could tell me that, and the family could tell me.
I guess.
I don't want to be disappointed. That's one of the reasons why I'm not watching it.
You're protecting yourself.
It's a little bit. It's like my own self-defense a little bit. Like, I realize that one of the other surgeons has kind of become, it looks like, has kind of become the main guy with the more impressive looking patients.
Oh.
You know, like the more dramatic, gruesome-y kind of cases, you know, that are really, you know, more eye-catching. Like mine, I think, were less eye-catching.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We'll see.
But you're still on the show.
I'm still on the show, which is totally cool.
Yeah, and you're totally still doing the actual work in real life.
I did the work. Which is totally cool.
Yeah. You helped real people.
I helped real people and three amazing women who I hope are doing great. I took care of.
Can you tell us about what Take My Tumor is about? I think the title gives
away
a bit.
What do you think it's about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's produced by the same people who produce Dr. Pimple Popper, right?
Yes.
So it's a similar, they come in with kind of a unique
But back
medical,
up even.
What?
We had Casey, the producer.
We did have Casey on the pod.
As our guest.
Yeah.
But we weren't allowed to talk
about
it.
We couldn't tell anyone. So you guys might go back and listen to Casey's episode.
Right.
Where he talks about producing Dr. Pimple Popper, now knowing that he was working with you on Take My Tumor.
Right. We had already met.
So I could just assume that Take My Tumor is people coming in with unique situations.
With tumors.
Unique large tumors. Unique weird placement.
Weird large.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. And the crazy, wacky thing is, you know, the show came out now. I guess with any kind of TV show and anything like that, this happened so long ago almost. Like, we shot it a year ago. Like, a year ago today, we shot all of that stuff. But I first met Casey, it almost seems like I met him 2 years ago, believe it or not.
Okay.
And when we had him on the podcast, had we already shot, it, right?
Yes, you'd already shot it, but you weren't ready to talk about it.
And it was still kind of in limbo a little bit. And the thing about the show is, it's not so much my show, you know, even though it's really the patient's show. That's kind of how it's focused. It's focused on these patients and what they're going through and their ordeals and hopefully how their lives are made better. And I just happen to be one of the surgeons, one of the three surgeons, the coolest one, but one of the three surgeons.
And you're unbiased.
Opinion. Right, exactly. Yeah.
It looks like episode one was a woman covered in thousands of tumors. So like, are you remembering all these cases that are a year ago? Like when you're going to see the show titles, it's jogging your memory. What were their experiences?
But she wasn't my patient. You know, okay. So that's the thing. Like all the really impressive cases, I have to say, were not necessarily my patients. She was a woman with something called neurofibromatosis, which presents with a whole slew of different types of medical issues sometimes. But sometimes it's just these lumps and bumps. And tumors that could be all over their body. In fact, one of my favorite patients that I've taken care of through my life here was a patient with neurofibromatosis who we've done a lot of surgery on separately, not from this TV show, a woman from Belize who I love. And I hope I haven't seen her in years. I hope she's still around. But it could be a very debilitating, you know, if you watch that episode, it could be incredibly debilitating. I mean, this particular patient from the show has these tumors all over. Mm-hmm. And I think the way the network did the show is they actually found us the patients.
Okay.
But I think this particular patient, I think, was already a patient of the other surgeon.
Got it.
And I think so. I could be wrong. And I think he kind of said, oh, we're going to shoot this one. You know.
What about, do you have patients, and I know you can't give away too much if the episodes haven't come out yet, but were there any that really stood out to you from the show?
Well, again, I only took care of three. I think total there may be about 10 patients on the show.
That's a lot.
Three of them were mine.
Okay.
I mean, I certainly remember all their interactions. And what's interesting is where the locations of the tumors were is kind of interesting. Mm. And just how it affected their lives. You know, all three of the particular patients, you know, someone's walking around with this growth, whether or not you could see it under their clothes or not. It's what I really appreciate is how grateful they were
and
that we were taking care of them. It was pretty cool.
I bet that's pretty nerve-wracking, especially if it's kind of a unique situation. Like, why haven't they come in? Do they feel shame about that? Are they nervous about it? Did you guys touch on that? Were they kind of anxious to come on the show or anxious to see you?
For sure. And unfortunately, I can't. I think I'm probably not allowed to talk about them until they air. You know, sometimes they're in like weird, touchy situations, locations, some of these tumors.
Okay.
So that's also kind of interesting to see. And hopefully,
but everyone they'll come across. Was okay, at least, because I know that can be a really serious situation, even though it's.
Yeah. And the thing about these tumors is, you know, there's always the concern and the fear that these are cancers, too.
Yeah.
You know? So in addition to the fact that they're possibly unsightly or just hard for a patient to deal with, then they're dealing with the fact that are we dealing with cancer, which is kind of an interesting thing too.
I have a question, a cancer question.
Okay.
Because when I came in, I heard you talking about the stages of cancer.
Yeah.
And I have been lucky enough not to have to handle that in my immediate family or
thank
with
God.
Myself, thank God. What are the stages? Like, what do they mean? Is that, if it's spread, is that, like, what does that mean?
So typically with cancer staging, typically we talk about four stages. So there's 1 through 4. And typically 1 is the earliest and means it's pretty contained and localized.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 always means that it's spread to other parts of the body. It's metastasized. You know, that's the word for spread to other parts of the body. And then 2 and 3 are kind of the in-betweens of those two things. Stage 1 is always pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Stage 4 is always concerning. In the olden days, stage 4 was kind of a death sentence. But these days, it isn't necessarily anymore. In fact, you hear on the radio advertised, I don't know, MBC. I don't know if you ever, metastatic breast cancer, which means stage 4 breast cancer. Mm-hmm. People could live with treatment for decades, potentially, with metastatic cancers these days. And live quality of life, too. So it's not, it just often gives us a guide of how to treat these patients too, but to some degree it also gives you a prognosis idea. Depending on the cancer, it helps you figure things out. And then it also decides, a stage 1 cancer rarely gets anything like chemotherapy, total body therapy. Okay. Whereas a stage four metastatic cancer almost always will need chemotherapy.
Got it.
And then the twos and the threes, kind of depending on which kind of cancer, some may not.
And you want to avoid chemo, obviously, because of the experience. So.
Well, not avoid chemo, but if you don't need chemo,
yeah, you'd rather
why give it? Yeah. But these days, chemotherapy, you know, there are definitely some chemotherapies that will still kick the crap out of you, but some of them aren't necessarily as bad as anymore. Bad.
Yeah, I feel like that sounds so, so daunting. So yeah. I can understand.
Yeah.
Wanting to avoid it if you could. I'm reading Crying in H Mart right now. Have you heard of
Crying
it?
Crying where?
In H Mart. I think we talked about it before.
H Mart?
H Mart. It's like a, a Korean market or an Asian food market. But the author's writing about her mom who has cancer.
Mm.
And that's why, so I'm thinking about it more and more. Michelle Zahner.
Mm.
It was on so many lists. Everybody loved it. So I'm finally getting around to it. It's great. Okay. If you're, I'm sure you don't need to spend your free time with more.
Reading about cancer.
Yeah, yeah, maybe something lighter.
Mm-hmm.
But I have more questions about the show because I'm sure I'll have more cancer questions for you. As I progress through the book, how did the show come to be? How did you get discovered, if you will?
So that's, you know, that's the best part of it, is how the show came to be. Because, and I've told the story, and I think I told it on one of our story times. It is how the show came to be. So we've been doing this podcast now for pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the podcast is Gross Anatomy Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And always I get into these ruts and ups and downs of the podcast and hosting the podcast. Should I keep doing it? You know, we kind of get a little bored or mm-hmm. just feel in a rut. And the whole reason I started the podcast was a few things. One, because I'm a big movie, TV, pop culture fan, and I always... watching a movie or watching a TV show, whether it's me seeing some medical thing and being, that doesn't happen, or friends and family. In fact, I think you were one of the early people when I met you asking me some health thing that also kind of made me think about, this is the podcast kind of thing. I think you were one of the early, all of Liat's friends would always ask me all these health questions about something they see going on in the world, whether it was on a TV show or a book or who knows what. So that was kind of the birth of Gross Anatomy. This is the long version of the answer.
Give it, yeah.
So we've been doing it. And then out of the blue, almost 2 years ago, it seems, I get this random, I think it was both an email and a phone call. They called the office. They found me. We're the people who produced Dr. Pimple Popper. We're looking for the Gross Anatomy guy. That's what I'm told. We're looking for the Gross Anatomy guy. And I don't know if it was from the podcast or just the Instagram. I'd like to think it's from the podcast. But actually, back then, the person running the Instagram, were you, Mariana, you were doing the Instagram back then?
Shout out, Mariana.
Shout out, Mariana. There you go. There you go. So I met with the guy who worked for Casey Brummels on Zoom. Actually, maybe it was a phone call first. Then we did a Zoom interview. And then I didn't hear anything for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere, I hear, okay, you know, we're ready to do the show, blah, blah, blah. And then I didn't hear anything for a while. And then they're like, okay, we actually have the money and we're shooting the show and we're going to now start looking for patients. And then I didn't hear anything for a while.
Mm.
And then finally, before the summer last year, around a year ago, they're like, okay, here are patients. Let's start finding patients.
Yep.
And then around a year ago today-ish, we started shooting the show. And then I didn't hear anything for a while. And I'm wondering, is it really going to happen?
I think that's just the pace of
It's very bizarre.
Things, yeah.
And then we find out, it was just like a month or two ago, finally, when I got an email saying, it's a go, it's coming out April 3rd.
And what was the experience like filming?
Mariana was there, actually, for the very first day filming.
Shout out, Mariana.
Shout out again, Mariana. The crazy thing is, the whole reason I started the podcast was not to be... It was to be involved somewhat in movies, TV, because I would love to be an advisor to TV shows or maybe help create some TV shows.
Like a consultant.
Right. We had Mel as a guest. Yeah. I would love to be involved in that way. And there was never any intention of being in front of the camera. It was always because I wanted to be help with the creative.
But you're made for it.
No, but I'm such an introvert, which is crazy. But yet here I am doing this. I am an introvert.
But you can do this with one person in this room. It's not like going to like a stadium or like a live show.
Right.
So it lets you be a little introvert.
Right. So that's why I'm able to do it. But all this stuff is out of my comfort zone. So doing the show is kind of out of my comfort zone, which is interesting.
First time on a set?
Actually, no. I had been on a set with the way I met Mark Feuerstein, who was a guest on a bunch of our podcasts too, a few episodes, who's an actor who was in the TV show Royal Pains about concierge medicine. That was the first time I was on a set. Somehow we met, long story short, they maybe were going to have a friend of mine and I kind of help consult on a show that he was working on that was medical. Mm-hmm. And that's when I met Mark. And it turned out they brought us to the set just to kind of as like a common courtesy thing because we helped for a little bit, but they weren't really interested. But that was my first time on the set that's of the cool. show called 3 Pounds. And I met Mark and we just bonded right away and became close friends after that. So that was my first time on a set. But it was weird and strange and bizarre, but the crew were amazing. One guy, the sound guy, this guy, Tim Brown, who actually Liat knew from her doing stuff, which was so crazy, small world fun, but it was great. And Julie Golden, who's our producer of the show, was amazing too. I mean, it was really fun, and all the people working on the show were great.
Were you nervous doing your regular job in front of a camera? To, like, perform?
No, the surgery part didn't make... The talking like this on camera was kind of hard and weird and strange.
Yeah.
Especially now looking at... I looked at some of the trailers. I haven't watched an episode. But looking at the other surgeon on it, he was really acting and hamming it up. I don't think that's him normally. And I'm like, damn, why didn't I do that stuff? I should have really... But
there's maybe more seasons.
Maybe, who knows? Yeah. I don't know. But I looked in the trailer and he's like, whoa, he's like... acting like you can't believe.
I'm going to watch it and I'll be the judge. Because I think you're coming off from your own perspective.
Maybe.
You haven't even watched it.
I don't know.
Come on.
Who knows?
Are there any highlights that we could be excited about? Any cool episodes you remember filming that you were like, this one was really special? Or I know you said you had 3 patients that you worked with.
You know, I didn't have these dramatic, you know, when you look at the trailer, well, you see these dramatic surgery, you know, the dramatic cases. But they were dramatic for the patients and not necessarily as visually eye-catching. But it was just amazing, you know, they were grateful and it was great being able to take care of them. So, and knowing, you know, and I've been in touch with them since surgery and they're pleased, you know.
That's good to hear.
The main thing, you know, is that they're happy and pleased and that's really the best.
And then when and where can we watch it?
I mean, it's TLC.
It's TLC Wednesdays.
It's Wednesdays?
It says 10, 9 central.
Okay. And only the first episode. Oh, so it's going to be weekly? I don't even know. I'm pathetic.
Yeah, it's going to be weekly is my understanding. So only episode 1's out right now.
Only episode 1 is out.
So you're so humble, you don't even care.
So what you need to do, everybody who's listening, is watch a show, tell them it's amazing, tell them Cohen is the best, and you need to make sure feedback. That there are more seasons. But why don't you have Cohen be the behind-the-scenes producer of it, in addition to being
front and center star.
It's funny, I pitched Casey an idea for another show, and he's like, yeah, we can't do that.
Because you have ideas.
I have to keep having ideas, yeah.
Your ideas, I mean, Gross Anatomy got you there.
It got us here.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Pretty cool.
I had one other thing that came to mind just now.
Wait, I want to tell people where they can watch
it
real quick.
Yeah, tell people. Yeah.
It's on, I just saw it on Max, by the way, so that feels really accessible. But also, if you don't have Max, I saw DirecTV, Fubo, and Philo, which I have never heard of. But you can find it.
Yeah.
Take My Tumor. Wednesdays, 10, 9 central.
There you go. Crazy.
What were you saying?
I had a thought yesterday. This has nothing. Are we still talking about the show a little bit?
We can talk about whatever you want.
It was something that I was trying to remember. It was almost like a Storytime Sunday, but not quite a story time. But as doctors, we often have to do this thing called the peer to peer. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, I don't.
We often have to do something called the peer to peer. Say we're ordering a test or wanting to do a surgery. We often have to actually get on the phone with either a nurse or a doctor who works for an insurance company. To try to explain to them that we as the doctor or provider believe that this patient needs that test, that scan, or a surgery. So the other day, I had to do a peer-to-peer, and I was driving in the car doing a peer-to-peer with someone. And it's just so upsetting that I was trying to convince this doctor that I was talking to that this patient needed to have their surgery with me and only me. But it was just bizarre. But I wound up... knowing that I wasn't going to get anywhere with this doctor, I wound up just grilling her about her life and her story. And I decided to invite her to be a guest on the podcast. And because she had such an interesting story.
Out.
Yeah, but I don't know if she's going to. But I said, you know what, why don't you check out the podcast? And That would be cool if she decides to
see if she's interested.
Yeah. Because she gave an interesting story. I don't want to spoil it.
Don't tell us.
Yeah. But she, I'm going to spoil it for a second. She became a doctor, and she was the only doctor on Catalina Island for a while. Oh, wow. For several years.
Being the only doctor on an island sounds really intense.
Yeah. So I thought it was a cool story. Yeah. So I asked her to be a guest on the podcast.
No pressure.
So we'll see. Maybe she's going to listen, and who knows?
That's the title of her episode, The Only Doctor on Catalina Island. The Only That sounds like the title of like a scary movie.
Scary movie, yeah. It could be. Or can't like a John Grisham thing. Yeah. Or Dan Brown.
Okay. Would you be the only doctor on an island, or would that be too much pressure for you?
On a Caribbean island, maybe.
Okay.
If it gave me Depends the ability the to go island. Hang on a Caribbean island, then I'm considerate.
But then you'd have to do all sorts of things. Like, do you feel nervous if someone came with a...
In the beginning, maybe a little.
What if they were like, I have this eye issue?
Yeah. Are you asking me about eyes because you know I can't handle eyes?
No.
Oh.
I was just my intuition asking about an eye.
I cannot do eyes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. No,
okay,
I can't
so anything
eyes.
But eyes.
Yeah, like they I have get to have freaked a out doctor. About eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, although I've removed entire orbits. Like, I've actually sliced out someone had a tumor and we cut out their entire bone and eye for a tumor years ago.
And they didn't get the eye back?
No.
Oh, it's gone.
We made a prosthesis and everything. Yeah.
So you can work with eyes.
I can, but I can't do my own eyes.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I even get a little faint if it's my own eye. I'm weird about eyes.
That is weird.
My eyes especially.
Okay, your eyes specifically.
Yes.
People have things. Yeah. Eyes don't really gross me out, but I think in a surgery setting they would. A lot of things would gross me out in a surgery setting, I think.
I don't know how people put eye makeup on. I don't know. And there you go.
Okay, we're going to do health trend of the week.
Okay.
What came up for me this week was, well, first of all, do you smoke weed?
No.
Okay, well, we have to ask on the pod.
Yeah.
You never know.
Uh-huh.
What about...
Actually, you know what's funny? I think we talked on the podcast about shroom.
Well, yeah, but one we of never our talked episodes, about weed.
No, but one of our episodes, we talked about shrooms.
Yeah.
And we talked about the plan at Liat's wedding that we may all do shrooms.
I'm bringing some just for you, so not you know anyone else.
So you know what's crazy? A doctor that I work with who listens to the podcast, who's a friend of mine, recently asked me a question about it, and I said I'd call him back. But I don't know if that's a good thing that I admit that I'm going to try shrooms at my daughter's wedding.
Why?
Because I'm like the doctor. Is it okay?
You're the doctor at the wedding, just like the doctor of Catalina Island.
I don't think...
If you're not taking a wild amount, I don't think you'd be incapacitated.
Right.
If you're not taking like a really high dose, I think you'd be fine.
Yeah. I have an interesting pot story, actually. Another potential story time Sunday, speaking of marijuana. So when I was in medical school, there was a medical student who was like a weird, goofy guy, really, really smart, and big pot smoker. And it was obvious he was a big pot smoker. And he didn't deny it. He didn't hide it or anything like that. And it was before it was really legal. And... like a big pot smoker, but he did incredibly well in school. Like he was killing it.
See, but you're even saying but. Like you can't do both.
Okay. So we asked him. I remember asking him. I don't know if it was I who asked him or someone else who asked him and said, you know, how is a big pot smoker, how are you able, how do you balance it? Because med school is so intense, you know, in terms of the amount of stuff.
That's probably how he balanced it.
So I loved his story. What he said to us was he would go and do his work and he wouldn't smoke until he felt good, you know, he would smoke as a reward to himself
that he accomplished
the amount of studying he did.
I mean, you think he wouldn't have a drink. He wouldn't go to the library and have... He might not be a drinker and say, right. How do you guys drink and go to med school?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, that sounds more insane. You're having a hangover, you feel like shit, your blood sugar's fucked up.
But I think he smoked every night, you know, every day. I think I maybe in medical school maybe would drink...
Like weekends.
At the most, once or twice a week at the most.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different.
Although we had something called shit night.
And what was shit night?
I don't know what it stood for.
Shit face?
No, I think it stood for something, S-H-I-T.
Okay.
But I don't remember. But it was in our gym, in our medical school, Tuesday nights. They would have a couple of kegs. And I don't know if it was because we were miserable and it was shitty. I don't remember, but it was shit night. So Tuesday nights I would go and have beers often. Not always, but often.
Because I always think, I would way rather probably be around people who smoke than be around people who drink a lot. Fine. I have friends and I do things in moderation. So it's fine if you do both, neither, whatever, one or the other. But when you think about it, that person's probably a lot chiller, nicer, less aggressive, less grumpy in the morning.
Yeah.
Like just an easier to be around.
Right. especially
as
like
long as moderation. You just can't be.
Yeah.
I think that while people say it's not an addictive substance, you could be addicted to anything. True. So if you treat it in a way of like, I need this,
right,
just like you could do with alcohol, I think you could be addicted to it. But
yeah. People are definitely addicted to it.
Yeah. But people are addicted to all sorts of bizarre things.
Everything,
there's
yeah.
shows on that. There's some
right.
some lady eating her couch or something. I
yeah.
forgot what she was doing.
It was tasty.
Some guy hooking up with his car.
Yeah.
There's weird stuff out there. Okay. So the trend this week is THCA. It's a non-psychoactive cannabinoid derived from hemp. So it might be good for the non-weed smokers, a.k.a.
Right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
I think my sister gave me something like this that was like, I get kind of anxious if I have the wrong, you know, they have indica and sativa.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I have sativa, I'm like, I can't sleep. My mind is racing. I really have to be careful.
Yeah.
So I think this is probably good for the people who are a little nervous or a little anxious or don't want any psychoactive effects at all.
Are there supposed benefits to it, though?
I mean, there's supposed benefits to
right.
weight in general, like
right.
probably inflammation, lower, whatever,
yeah.
lowering anxiety, sleep, whatever.
It's not like decaf coffee, which
I don't
has
think
no
so.
Benefit.
I think, right. oh, I didn't know that.
No,
actually.
I don't know. I'm kidding.
Okay.
No.
I was like, is that true or is it
decaf
still an antioxidant?
Like muddy brown water, you know?
But it's probably an antioxidant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. But also, I agree, coffee kind of makes me feel crazy. So I'm with you. People are into it because, oh, there we go. Increased demand because it's anti-inflammatory and sleep-enhancing properties without the feeling of what's
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep your eye out for. It's non-intoxicating and therapeutic. So for all the non-weed smokers, THCA.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Better than
maybe
CBD?
That's a good question. We should
yeah.
have a CBD versus THCA. Sometimes CBD doesn't feel like it does much to me, so I'd probably be faster to try this. I spent so much money, and I would say at least like 2 years taking CBD every day and like different specific strains that were like $200 a bottle for CBG that helps with this specific issue or this like...
Did you feel anything?
No.
No, I know.
It was like this one specifically is a little anti-inflammatory. This one specifically, CBN helps you sleep. CBG
right.
helps you with this.
Yeah.
So, like, I was so into it
mm-hmm.
and it didn't help me. I was at first using it for my skin or sleep or whatever, like over COVID I needed help with everything.
Yeah.
I can't, not saying it doesn't help. I still will
yeah.
take it. Maybe it's just really physical and not as, it doesn't
yeah.
help with the mental things for me.
Well, one of the things in general about cannabis is that the individual parts aren't necessarily as good as the whole plant, you know, the whole flower. That's what they talk about.
That
talk about
sense.
The effect, there's a word for it that I'm blanking on, but it's like there's something about the benefit of the whole plant.
And like how it interacts.
That you lose, it's the something effect.
Whenever I've been in pain and I have THC, not CBD, like I feel that helps. Or
yeah.
like a balm, like if I get like a salve that has THC in it, I go get it from a shop. I've never gotten high from putting that on.
The entourage effect.
And it helps. Oh.
That's what they talk about, the entourage
okay.
effect.
So all of it together.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why I think that if I have cramps or like a back pain or something, if I just put a CBD salve on, it does not seem to help. But if I have this balm that I got from a weed shop
mm-hmm.
and it has THC in it, it's never made me high, and I feel like it helps a little bit.
Yeah,
or
that's
just
the entourage effect.
Yeah,
but it's hard to say. Is it just, you know, mind over matter?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody will ever know.
We've had a guest on our podcast, a friend of mine named Noah Kraft, who's been a guest on our podcast, who's starting a company called People Science. That hopefully the original goal of the company when I was involved, still sort of involved, but back in the day, the original goal was to try to do science with these things and see, could we make real data about how does this work? What are the effects? They've kind of segued now, I think, more into other hallucinogenics, like maybe even mushrooms.
Because people,
like that.
Mushrooms are trending right now.
Mushrooms are trending.
Did you try anything new this week?
I got this thing on my face zapped.
That's new.
You know, actually,
I guess that's old.
Yeah.
Show.
Do you mean even a
yeah,
show?
Anything.
So Bernice and I weirdly discovered, we were just flipping through. We've been watching Arrested Development and we're kind of stuck.
Oh, yeah.
We stopped, but we were flipping through and we came across a show called Three Body.
It was just called Three?
No, Three Body something.
Oh. No, I'm listening to a Three. Podcast called Three.
No.
So that's what made me
Three
think.
Three Body Problem.
What's that?
It's the same guys who did Game of Thrones or... I don't know if they wrote it or they're directing it, you know, those same guys. And interestingly, there are a couple of Game of Thrones actors in it.
Oh.
John Bradley, the guy who played Sam Tarly, is in it. Liam Cunningham, the guy who played the Onion Knight, is in it. And it's an interesting, weird sci-fi aliens from outer space kind of dystopian, interesting show.
And you like it?
We are liking it.
Okay.
Yeah, and we stumbled upon it. So it's called Three Body Problem. It's about alien life.
Maybe. Kind of. Yeah. Maybe kind of. Maybe like a little sci-fi.
Sci-fi. It's sci-fi. Sci-fi. But it's cool. And those two actors are great.
Well, mine is similar. I'm listening to three. Well, I was listening. I had a road trip last week. I need like a creepy story to keep me entertained. Like really? I like listening to like serial killer.
So does Bernice.
Scary.
I hate that.
Only
stuff.
On a really only on a drive. Okay. Never like I'm not watching that at home. Okay. I don't want visuals.
Yeah.
No visuals
no
for that.
No way.
But Rachel and I were driving to Vegas and back to see my dad. And we listened to three. And it's actually a story from a long time ago, or not that long ago. I mean, they're like my age. So I think it was like 2012. So these girls were three girls in high school. And spoiler alert, you know, at the beginning, it's already been in the news, but one of them dies. Mm. And it's how did she die? And obviously the other two killed her. I'm going to just.
Really?
Yeah.
They killed her?
Yeah. And they're 16-year-old girls.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Wow.
And they stabbed her.
Why?
That was
and
the weirdest
part. Were
they
friends?
They were three best friends.
Who just randomly stabbed their friend.
They randomly stabbed. We have a lot of hunches. This could be like a whole episode.
Do they talk about why they did?
They don't have the girls on the podcast. They have like the parents on the podcast or the police officer who worked on the case.
But they're real
the
people.
Girls are
the
in
girls
jail.
Are alive.
The girls are in jail.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And the other one's dead.
Wow.
And her poor parents. And so they planned the whole thing.
Oh.
You have to listen. There's details you
oh,
need.
Oh, wow.
They planned it. One of them
so it's
seems
premeditated.
Like, premeditated. One of them seems like a genuine socio. She does not have any care for human life. She was going to kill someone regardless of the situation. You know, like just one day she was going to kill someone.
Wow.
The other one seems to have been kind of caught up in something and backed into a corner. So that's interesting.
Wow.
To hear. But wow. She was actually the first one to make the move. She stabbed her first.
Wow. That's
it's insane.
I don't need to listen or watch that.
You don't, but it's
I'm
also
sure it's
pretty
gonna be
riveting.
A movie.
It'll
gonna be a TV
definitely
show?
I mean, not I don't know real facts,
yeah.
But it'll definitely be a movie.
Yeah, that's not for me.
Yeah.
I don't
so that's what I tried this week.
I want happy stuff.
I know, I shouldn't really.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
recommend it, but I do. It was great.
Huh.
It's really interesting.
Not for
and
me.
I was thinking about it. Now I'm like, I need to finish it.
Yeah.
And it will be a movie and then
there you go.
Yeah.
And I'm going to probably get stuck watching it. So
instead, we should all watch Take My Tumor, Wednesdays, 10, 9 Central.
That was a good
on TLC.
Plug-in. I love that.
Nice transition there.
There you go. That was really nice.
Thanks for listening to Gross Anatomy, you guys.
Thanks, everybody. We were IRL, and there you go.
Tell us if you liked the IRL episode more, and we'll
exactly.
do more of them. Also, give us a rating. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gross Anatomy. As a reminder, Gross Anatomy is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.